The views expressed on the Final Straw Radio do not necessarily reflect those of Asheville FM, Friends of Community Radio, or any of the affiliate radio stations airing the show.
You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bursa Goodness. The show can also be heard on KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS in Columbus, Ohio. The show will later be archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us with questions or suggestions at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. Also, if you're interested in rebroadcasting any episode or segment, you are free to do so. Just send us an email so that we know that you're out there. If you care to, you can send us letters at The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806.
The show is brought to you by Firestorm Books and Coffee. Located at 610 Haywood Road, Firestorm Books and Coffee is a worker-owned cooperative in Asheville, specializing in offbeat, underground, and independent literature. You can find a sample of Firestorm's catalog of books and zines, plus a full calendar of events at their website, firestorm.coop.
This week we'll be featuring a recording produced by our friends at Anarchistisches Radio Berlin of a debate that took place at the Congress of the International of Anarchist Federations, or IFA. The debate concerned the No Border Camp that activists from different places had participated in the area of Thessaloniki, Greece, in July of 2016. The No Border Camp was a site of active solidarity with people traveling into Europe across the Mediterranean Sea and against reactionary and state attempts to block their freedom to move across borders. The debate about the No Border Camp took place at the IFA Congress and included two participants from the anarchist political organization, Federation of Collectives out of Greece, two participants from the Slovenian Federation of Anarchist Organizations, and one from the Federation of German-Speaking Anarchists, or FDA. More audio from A-Radio Berlin can be found at aradio.blogsport.de, and the site for the No Border Camp can be found at noborder2016.espivblogs.net.
But first, here is an announcement from Atlanta Anti-Fascist Notes. The Hammerskin Nation, a long-running white supremacist organization, has announced that their major Hammerfest national gathering will be held in Georgia this October 1st. Hammerskin organizers plan to bring several bonehead, that's racist skinhead, musical acts into Georgia, including one band traveling from Finland to play the event. White supremacist speakers are also scheduled, one of these speakers being a prominent up-and-coming leader in the white power movement. The early October event will draw Hammerskin Nation members and the supporters from across the country, as well as militants from other parts of the white power movement. As Hammerfest approaches, Atlanta Anti-Fascist Notes will be one source for updates and reporting. For briefer, time-sensitive updates, keep your eyes on twitter.com/AFAINATL. For more information on this event and the Hammerskins in general, you can look up this article tagged October 1st on Atlanta Anti-Fascist Notes at afainatl.wordpress.com or on their Twitter handle mentioned above. Please also be advised to use caution if you are planning a counter event. The Hammerskins are known for their extremely violent tactics, so stay safe out there and have each other's backs.
And here's an announcement from the International of Anarchist Federations as regards solidarity with DAF, an anarchist formation affiliated with IFA based in Turkey. The Final Straw conducted two interviews with members of DAF in past months that can be found at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org to hear more about the work that they do. This can be taken in context not only of the attempted coup and following repression of all who might question the AKP or Erdogan government in Turkey, but also in the context of Turkey committing troops and armor across the border into Syria, where Kurdish militia have been fighting IS or Daesh, and more recently, the Assad regime's troops. This stands as a concern as the Rojava Democratic and Federalist Project, with which many anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalists, and anarchists have aligned themselves, is considered related to forms of struggle in the Kurdish regions around Bakur in Turkey, which the Erdogan government has resumed repression and tensions, and it's escalating. So here's the IFA's announcement. Since Turkey... Since the coup in Turkey and the imposition of the state of emergency, we have seen increased repression of many groups and movements operating there. This is not only aimed at the organizers of the coup, but a wide repression of democratic, socialist, Kurdish groups, and including our anarchist comrades at DAF, Devrimci Anarşist Faaliyet, Revolutionary Anarchist Action. On two occasions, in 2010 and 2012, DAF had already been investigated by the state as a terror organization, but these cases were dropped. Now, because of the state of emergency, the ability of DAF to organize is even more difficult. Their newspaper, Meydan, has been closed down and three new investigations have been started. This has also had serious economic impact on DAF. In recent years, DAF has been involved in many struggles, including Gezi Park, and supporting the Kurdish revolutionary process in Rojava and Bakur, including refugee support. They're involved in workers and youth movement activities, ecological actions, and anti-militarism, opposing patriarchy and support for the LGBTI movement, and have been developing practices of collective living and economy and self-organization. IFA has already been involved in solidarity movement with Rojava in many respects and in close cooperation with DAF. Now, due to the changed situation in Turkey, we must expand our support of DAF in more concrete ways. We also have to be vigilant of the real possibility of increased repression of DAF and wider anarchist movement in the region, and to be able to respond rapidly with strong solidarity actions. IFA is committed to this, and we call on all friendly organizations to join us and also provide financial solidarity to DAF. To support the call for solidarity and concrete support, you can contact the IFA Secretariat at Secretariat, Secretariat, at i-f-a.org.
And don't forget, if you're in the Asheville area, that on Friday, September 2nd, 2016, at 7 p.m., there will be a discussion at Firestorm Books and Coffee of the upcoming September 9th National Prisoner Work Strike and how folks can, on the outside, can offer solidarity. More info on the strike can be found at supportprisonerresistance.noblogs.org. Relatedly, there is a march scheduled to start at 5 p.m. on Friday, September 9th here in Asheville from Aston Park in downtown to the jail from 5 p.m. onward. Bring sign-making goods and a bunch of friends. And now for some words from anarchist prisoner Sean Swain. What you say, what you say, what you say,
what? Record like a bomb! When Nat Turner and a band of rebel slaves rose up in 1831, killing almost 60 of the slave-owning aristocracy, the legal proceedings that followed focused on determining what the slaves' motives were. In fact, court officials went to great lengths to interview all of the condemned rebels in order to ask why they rose up and why they resorted to violence. You see, they were so deluded by their own mythology that slaves were perfectly happy in chains and servitude that they could not conceive of slaves who desired something more. So distorted by the slavery program, apologists for the status quo could not imagine slaves unsatisfied with slavery. Really. Theories abounded that there were white accomplices who put the slaves up to it, or that Nat Turner was a fanatical wacko, the equivalent of the modern-day cult leader, bamboozling his fellow slaves into drinking the proverbial Kool-Aid. One theory held that Nat Turner and his fellow rebels' real motive was to rob the victims of money, and that the wholesale slaughter, to include leaving a headless infant in a fireplace, was just incidental to their looting. So confused and baffled were they that they dispatched one man, a lawyer, to meet with Nat Turner himself and get the story straight from him. They needed to hear Turner explain his desire for freedom and his absolute revulsion for the crimes of slavery before they could believe it. Then they hung him and dismembered him and sent his skull as a trophy to an Ohio university. That'll teach him for telling the truth. Since that time, right up until the modern day, those who oppose slavery and seek to hold up Nat Turner and his fellow rebels as role models often try to gloss over the savage butchery that Turner and others committed. They have a really hard time with the violence. They take the position that slavery was evil, and they think Nat Turner is a hero, but they mitigate their endorsement of him by pointing out that the violence was way too much.
Now, I purposely described in great detail in the last segment how slave rebels hacked people to death with hatchets and axes and farm tools, men, women, children, the elderly. The violence they unleashed was ruthless and brutal and perfectly justified. I would suggest to you that every ounce of blood shed during that slave rebellion falls squarely on the hands of every single slave owner, every single slave trader, and every single American who benefited in a material way from slavery, both in 1831 and in 2016. I would suggest to you that the decapitation of the infant Joseph Travis was perfectly justified, given that the infant was the inheritor of the plantation and all the slaves on it. Nat Turner and others were not free until baby Joseph Travis's tiny body landed in that fireplace. That's the reality cooked up by the slave owners, not the slaves. So if they didn't want their infants beheaded, they should have thought of that before undertaking to own other human beings. They should have thought of that before passing down humans as property to their children. What I'm suggesting is that there is a kind of math to oppression and to counter-violence. We can properly judge the depth and breadth of the atrocities committed by oppressors when we take the full measure of the counter-violence that's unleashed in the eventual response. When you find bodies of headless babies in your fireplace, you've done a bad, bad thing, and you've done it for a long, long time. The simple fact of the matter is, liberation cannot occur without violence. And the more entrenched a system is, the more ruthless it is, the more intense the counter-violence must be in order to achieve liberation. Plain and simple. In 1831, Nat Turner and his companions sought liberation of an entire slave class from the tyranny of a slave-owning class that had butchered babies for centuries. You don't achieve that liberation from that kind of tyranny through marches or petitions or votes for lefty liberals. For Nat Turner and the slaves of 1831, just as for us, the slaves of 2016, liberation comes from the blade of a hatchet. Those who mitigate their endorsement of the courageous rebels who struggled alongside Nat Turner and the carnage they left in their wake still don't get it. If you're a slave, there's only one way to get free. For the slave, freedom springs forth only from the corpse of the slave master. The sooner and more swiftly undertaken, the better. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're a fellow slave, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, C.I., P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. president in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.
If you want to hear some of Sean's thoughts about the upcoming prisoner protests and work stoppages around the country, stay tuned to next week's episode or check out our blog post for a link to the audio.
Sagen Sie jetzt mal bitte
Anarchie.
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 Ob geschichtlich oder brandaktuell?
Mit Berichten und Interviews, mit Beiträgen und Collagen
beleuchtet das anarchistische Radio Berlin das Phänomen des Anarchismus.
Viva Anarchie!
In July 2016, a lot of activists participated at the No Border Camp in Thessaloniki, Greece. At the Congress of the International of Anarchist Federations, IFA, we had the opportunity of recording a small debate about this camp between comrades from different places. Two comrades from APO in Greece, two comrades from FAU in Slovenia, and one comrade from FDA in the German-speaking area.
This is for the people who were never hurt. And this is for those with chains on the feet. Sick and scared to move, y'all, we scared of defeat. And this is for those who go nonstop, nurturing the children harassed by the cops.
Okay, I'm here with a round of people who all attended the No Border Camp in Thessaloniki this July. We are all from different groups, different organizations, and different language zones. So we will talk in English, and maybe if, in the first place you want to present yourselves.
Hello, Bayas. We are from Anarchist Political Organization, Federation of Collectives from Greece. We are here people from two of the collectives of the Federation, from Thessaloniki and other two comrades from Patras. Hello.
I'm a person from the German-speaking Anarchist Federation.
Hello, me and...
Me too.
From Federation.
For Anarchist Organizing from Slovenia and Croatia.
Welcome. So you all attended this camp. It was pretty international. I think it was the biggest No Border camp that was organized this year, with a big international mobilization, and it took place near Thessaloniki. Can you maybe tell us something about the concept and the visions of the camp?
The idea came up, if I remember right, by comrades from Bulgaria, and like it was called, it was an initiative in Thessaloniki in order to organize it. In the beginning, the organizing assembly constituted of four political collectives. One was Anti-Racist Initiative, who are some far leftists. They have the Migrant Social Center in Thessaloniki. Then is Fabrika Efanet, a squad, and Anti-Authoritarian Movement of Thessaloniki and Anti-Authoritarian Collective Network, which is also a national network. And us, Collective for Social Anarchism, Black and Red, from Thessaloniki. So we constituted this assembly and started discussing on the political context and how to make it happen, what reason. As you should all know, with this whole migrant crisis, all the influxes come in Europe firstly through Greece, so the situation is really hard. I suppose you have seen like images from Greek islands or even many in northern Greece with the borders to Macedonia. And our aim was, like, we organized in the border camp with an aim to deepen, first of all, to create if there weren't any, and second hand, to deepen the political relationships between locals, local activists, locals who are fighting within the radical movement, and the subject themselves, like immigrants and refugees. And yes, with these workshops and demonstrations and everything, and to give a message both to the state, to Europe, that we are here, we're visible, we're fighting, you cannot confine and hide these people, because they do, like through these detention centers, hotspots, and concentration camps, and to give a message to these people that wherever you may end up, stay in Greece, go back to forced to return to Turkey or go further in Europe, you will have to fight for your lives from now on. And like one basic aim was self-organization between locals and migrants.
Okay, we heard it now from the organizers' perspective. I think the German-speaking comrades and the Slovenian-speaking comrades weren't involved in the planning process, but I guess you had some visions and some motivation to go there. I guess it was a long travel.
Yeah, for us, I think one of the important reasons why we decided to travel to Greece and participate in the No Border Camp was the fact that we saw this No Border Camp as one of the convergence points of the anti-authoritarian autonomous movements that were in last period quite intensively involved with organizing political and other solidarity with the migrant movement. So the convergence points of different of the groups of organizations of networks that were in different geographical areas but also on different levels involved with this supporting the demands of freedom of movement for everybody, supporting the very well-known slogans against borders. So the convergence points where we can meet So all these people from different countries to share experience on our work on this issue, and especially to develop common analysis or common thesis on the situation, and to develop some kind of common strategy for fighting against the aggressive politics against migration in Europe. So for us, I think the main reason was to meet, to network with people that are doing, that are fighting for the same things, and create a common perspective on this struggle.
I think we had common reasons, and also one important thing is that Greece is like the first point you get when you come coming from Turkey. So that's an important point, and that's the place where you meet really the people who had a long journey, and you can really hear the stories and connect to migrants. And we thought that that's a good place to meet people, hear their stories, and maybe are able to help them just by sitting together and talking, or really by helping them, telling them about the situation in Germany, because a lot of refugees think that it's the best to get to Germany as fast as you can, but in most of the cases it's not, because it's a hard, long way and you probably can't stay in Germany anyway.
This is for the people, 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 this is for the people. Hey, hey.
We heard which groups participated. I think they were all local initiatives. So it was an idea, a realization of local initiatives to start this camp. In the end, it ended up as a really big international mobilization. So were there any involvement of international organizations? And how was the participation at the camp in the end? I mean, who showed up there?
Yeah, like there was quite big and diverse mobilizations across Europe. Like caravans began from several parts, Germany, several ones I think also, Balkans, Italy, Spain too. In total, together with migrants who, like, we invited them from the detention centers, I think around 1,000 people were camping at the campus, university campus, and from like different political and social backgrounds.
I had a feeling that there were many people from Germany. Maybe it was just my own perspective, but at least it was also a very international camp, and because of the caravans from the detention centers or from the migrant camps around Thessaloniki, it was not only European focused.
Yeah, I think one of the disappointments, big disappointments for us, was that really a small number of groups or people from Greece, from the movements, participated at the camp. I don't know what are the reasons for that, but I think if the whole movement in Greece would took the initiative and would join the initiative, I think it would be maybe a different dynamic, which would be maybe could develop in more interesting directions. Mm. Otherwise, maybe it is good to mention, like what you asked, the idea of the No Border Camp. It was self-organized event, so everything was organized through general assemblies, and most of the technical things and things that had to be done was self-organized by the people there. So organizing different groups, working groups, to take care of things like security or cleaning or things like that. So
I want to answer to the Slovenian comrades on the issue why there weren't so many anarchists or generally like people from the movement from Greece. And the answer on this is, I suppose, it's a thing I also discussed with comrades from abroad, that the political context of No Border was like so wide politically that many got disappointed, both within and outside Greece. So they had no intention to be a part of it.
Maybe now you could tell us what happened at all at this camp during the time, like in terms of action, in terms of discussions.
I suggest that we take
anti-statists'
advice and give up on hope and listen instead to voices from below, voices from below.
Maledetto il suono della sveglia, è una veglia, dannato un altro giorno sulla terra, bombarda la tensione dei miei nervi, il mondo è popolato da servi e noi gli invitti con l'odio per i ricchi, che siamo pazzi e messo agli atti, l'orgoglio qui si vede nei fatti, per questo sappi, non è mai tardi, sai, per uscire dal gregge, perché se il mondo esplode voglio il ruolo delle schegge, la vita è una galera, etiope cora nera, né essere eremita, né unirmi a questa schiera di assassini, di sbirri e di padrini, rivolta popolare fomentata dai cortili, contro le regole della partita, la scelta è fatta, antagonista vita, antagonista vita.
Che vamo a hacer?
We did quite well. We managed with so many people to keep a decent level of hygiene, feed the people, thanks to No Border Kitchen from Germany and other comrades and migrants that helped. We had some nice theater plays and concerts, one demonstration in two concentration camps. One is in Paraneste of Thrama, sitting in Bulgaria, and the other at Xanthi, which is like in eastern Thrace, where there was also some passings with the police.
Okay.
We also had a demonstration to the German embassy to show up, because a German embassy has a big meaning for the German government, has a refugee deal with Turkey, and we wanted to protest against it. So we got in front of the German embassy with some life vests from Lesbos to show that migrants die in order of the policy of Germany and Turkey and all other countries. And in the end, there was a No Border action at the Turkish border to Greece.
Regarding the demonstrations, there was also this big demonstration, so-called Migrant Pride, in the city of Thessaloniki, with maybe a few thousand people or something, with a strong presence of self-organized migrant communities leading the march. This was, I think, quite strong demonstration. And then, like the action at the Greek embassy, I think some of the things were autonomously organized during the camp by different networks and different groups. But the main part of the program were also like discussions, presentations, and workshops that were done by comrades from all around Europe.
We forgot to mention that there was supposed to be at least the most major demonstration against Evros fence, which is like a murderous fence built between Greece and Turkey at the borders, and that's the main reason that migrants choose the seaway and either drown because of the smugglers' boats or the navy and NATO kills them, you know, like drowns them literally. And yeah, sadly many people have left, so instead of having like not 1,000 but several hundred, there were only 150 people. And it was the second
200.
It was the second time as a demonstration there, and of course like it's a symbolic one, like to show to the Greek, not only the Greek society in Europe, that this kills people.
So I think you killed this one big manifestation in the center, which was really giving the loud information out. You feel like this confrontation at the detention centers and at Euros. And then you have a lot of maybe smaller direct action. So this was one part, but very important part was also the lot of discussions, workshops, and different kind of assemblies. So for sure one interesting assemblies for us as federation for his organizing from Slovenia, from the Balkan region. It was we were having like steady Balkan assemblies at the time of No Border Camp, and there was the discussion. One was first 2 days. I think they were dedicated to Balkan topics, if I remember right. And then I forget a little bit, but maybe what. So there was this action part, which was quite strong, quite diverse, but I think maybe a little bit it was the deepness of the topic discussed on the No Border meeting didn't come too far.
And we also forgot we also occupied a radio station, didn't we?
Yeah. Okay. Television.
Television. Okay, so we occupied a television station for some people getting in there and having a show by telling about the No Border Camp and the refugee situation.
Feeling like you're being ripped off every day. Said you gotta watch the hustle in a critical way. When it's big business bestiality, baby, eat you up.
You're listening to a debate among Greek, Slovenian, and German-speaking members of the International of Anarchist Federations from the IFA's recent Congress about the No Border Camp in Thessaloniki, Greece, in which many folks participated in July of 2016. More from A-Radio Berlin can be found at aradio.blogsport.de, and more on the camp can be found at noborder2016.espivblogs.net.
Choice antagonista vita, antagonista vita life.
Give him a check. I give him a check.
So there was a lot of things going on, a lot of things where anarchists were involved, but I think there were also some particular anarchist actions and an anarchist call for mobilization. Maybe you want to say something about it?
Yes. As anarchist political organization, the Federation, we had a separate anarchist meeting for struggle against war, borders, and modern totalitarianism. We were within the campus, but with a separate autonomous squad and political speech, and our aim was to highlight the anarchist perspective on the migrant issue. We contributed to all actions, demonstrations, etc. of the No Border Camp. We had a specific presentation discussion on modern totalitarianism. Also, the comrades for FAO and other Balkan communities contributed a lot to this with their presentation and their discussions for further networking between anarchist comrades.
And we also participated in all the demonstrations held by the No Border Camp. Also in Thessaloniki, in Paramesti, in concentration camp of Xanthi, at the defense of Everest.
So maybe bring it down to a more personal level. Like, what were the most impressive things happening to you? What touched you most? What made you think?
Η συνάντηση πολλών διαφορετικών αγωνιστών από διαφορετικά μέρη του κόσμου με το ίδιο το υποκείμενο για το οποίο βρίσκονται και αγωνίζονται, με τους ίδιους τους πρόσχησης τους μετανάστες.
So it was like internationalism in action with activists from all around the world, maybe, but also with the subject of the struggle being present, that is, the immigrants and the refugees.
Αυτό ήταν το για μένα το πιο σημαντικό και το πιο έντονο συναισθηματικά, ας πούμε, κομμάτι της όλης διοργάνωσης. Το να κατεβαίνεις μέσα στον δρόμο με αγωνιστές από όλο τον κόσμο και παράλληλα με τους ίδιους τους πρόσφυγες, τους μετανάστες, στην κατεύθυνση, σε μια κοινή κατεύθυνση αγώνα και αλληλεγγύης και αλληλοβοήθειας, το να χτίζεις ένα κοινό τόπο τέλος πάντων αγώνα,
σηματοδοτεί πάρα πολλά πράγματα για τη συνέχεια, για το ίδιο το μέλλον του αγώνα και για την εξέλιξή του.
For me, emotionally, it was like the most moving that we went on the streets, both with activists and comrades from all around the globe, and also immigrants and refugees themselves. And like we marched towards common goal, aiming for solidarity, mutual aid, and. And this was like the one of the most important parts for the continuation and the evolvement of the struggle.
For me, the most moving part was when we went to the detention centers and had a reaction there, that some of the imprisoned people looked outside the window and they waved, and they were so glad that there were people who actually care about them. And it was very touching because there was a connection between us and them, and it was like showing them they're not alone and there are people who are against the detention and everything.
So for me, I suppose this internationalism to build better relationship with the comrades and establish new relationship, and maybe especially to connect with the comradely organizations, and to also understand the local context of the fight better and the expression of the authentic tactics of fighting and developing movements with migrants in Greece, so that you can interpret when you are going what is happening around you better.
What Obama and the bankers and the generals and the IMF and the CIA and CNN and BBC fear is ordinary people coming together and acting together. Anger to action.
We heard a lot about connecting our struggles to the migrant struggles. Can you maybe say something about the role of the migrants within the camp or within the actions or within the discussions?
The role they played, it was quite diverse. Like, on one hand, there were some migrants from Orfano Trofeo Migrant Squad with whom were working together for some time, and they really got into the mindset of struggling. Like, they come with us at detention centers and hot spots and like talk to other migrants themselves in their own languages. Like, that's one of the most amazing for me things that we have achieved as a movement in Thessaloniki. As for people that we would bring them from the detention centers and the hotspots, some who knew, like, who could speak somewhere better English and communicate, or were interested in the political social struggle, participated in some workshops. Most of them participated in the demonstration in Thessaloniki, and they were quite happy about it. They felt it was their own struggle, and for many, mostly families and children, was a nice break out of the miserable and shitty life in these detention centers. Like, the ones who were during the mornings at the motor demos there and have witnessed the living conditions of the migrants can tell that the Nobor camp was a paradise compared to what they daily live.
I also have the feeling that working with migrants is really different from Germany and Greece, because in Germany you always have the role of the one who helps migrants, who's collecting clothes or food or something like that. And in Greece it's really a connection of fighting together. So the migrants are not only migrants, but they are political persons. And you work for the same reasons, like open the borders, abolish nations and fences and stuff like that. So it's not only we can help you because we're privileged, but we can work together. And I really like the situation in Greece, and I prefer it than the situation is in Germany, or I have the feeling it is in Germany.
Anger to action. Anger to action.
Would you maybe like to share any criticism of the camp organization or of particular participants or incidents you had?
I have to say I had some problems with the assemblies because it was difficult atmosphere because most of the people you didn't understand by talking or it was not really leaded by anyone, so it was a bit confusing. So the discussions were from my side a bit nonsense, so I didn't get anything out of it. So that was maybe a point to criticize. But I liked the organization of the camp, so it was very cleaned up, everyone cared about each other, and there were nice showers, nice food, everything like that.
On my part also, I would like to stay on the point that the political context was too fluid, and either the participants of these workshops and discussions weren't trained in such a collective way to discuss, or I don't know what other reason. In my point of view, the political results out of this were not as satisfying as they could be. At least at the part of political powers, you understand, political collectives and
forces.
Yes, not powers, forces. From Greece and abroad, I don't think that they really have any deepened relations, and advocated a common way of struggling. There was some important information experience exchange for sure, but for such a big event, I think that I would wish for more to come out of this.
Yes, I agree. On a level of content of the discussions or presentations or sharing experience, I think it was very not really deep or wide in the content. And I had a feeling during the first days, during the first presentations, that all of the informations that we got there were mainly the informations that we already had or were available on the internet. So I would agree with one of the Greek comrades that at the last assembly articulated one of the critics of the camp was that people were not ready to argue about the religious or the differences in our political understanding of things. So we didn't put arguments on the table and in a comradely atmosphere discuss these arguments, but were just on one level sharing basic information, but on another level also reproducing some very general conflicts between us. So I also agree that also the main assembly did not develop into a space where we would listen to each other or where we would have a not common perspective, but looking for common perspective or common vision of what we are doing. I think it was too much of hard to articulate. But yes, there were definitely some problems with the way people talked to each other and how the assembly was organized, and probably also who the people that participated in the assembly were. So,
which kind of conflicts are you talking about? Conflicts in terms of political views or in other terms?
It is the problem because the conflicts also didn't have room to open, as it was said. There was no room to. It was just the general problems. I think it was mentioned, racism, sexism, and a lot of discussion about the infrastructure and a lot of discussion about the how to discuss. This was, I think, the topic that occupied the most workshops, assemblies, and everything. So the issue of no border were actually pushed on the side in the favor of these five things that I mentioned. I also speculate, right, that maybe this is the result of like a lot of foreigners with their own expectations come to Greece, and they didn't really take in consideration the local context of the story and the local struggle, and want to do their own thing without of appreciation of the local authentic story, how the things should be done to empower the movement, and analyzes after this movement what why it should be done so. I think one of the problem arises also from this.
For me it was weird and disappointing that from all the workshops, both by locals and comrades from abroad, there was not even one by comrades from Germany on the struggle of migrants. Like, it's one of the top destinations, and we didn't get to hear anything like, how are migrants doing in Germany? Okay, we learn in general from news, but we want to hear it in person. How is it here? What are the structures? What is the state doing? And etc. etc.
So we want to widen our view a little now and talk about, from the experience you made at this camp and at those actions, how you could imagine good strategies for the future to fight Fortress Europe and to support migrant struggles.
I think the key is really working together, not for each other, and not only helping, but connecting struggles. I think this is the most important point. And also not just symbolic action, because some kind of, I had some thoughts at the camp that some actions were just for like making pictures. And I think this is absolutely okay in some way, because of showing the people we're protesting in Greece and what we're doing, what No Border Camps wants to express. But also there should have been more, I don't want to say direct action, but things that really stay in mind of the people, and they keep in their thoughts by coming home and developing other ideas for working at home.
It really also depends on the local context, where you are, how strong you are, how do you feel is the best tactic. I believe that for sure, like this, it seems it will be a long-term process of migration. So it is really not important not to forget on our organization that if you want to have, if you want to be a strong actor on the political scene, we have to build our power of our organization. In order also not to burn out just with helping to immigrants. And also if the organization, infrastructure, the reflection behind the organization is strong, it is also much more easier to support the self-organized initiatives launched by the migrants itself, so that you are really in the solidarity and you are able to strongly build on this solidarity.
I think important part of the strategy of fighting Fortress Europe or supporting the demands for freedom of movements for everybody is, I think that part of this strategy is that it is necessary that we connect the solidarity work or political solidarity with migrants or anti-racist issues connected with migration, that we connect this with the general social and political issues, because especially in the context of mobilization of the far right across Europe, I think that the left or the anarchist or the autonomous left that is organizing political solidarity with migrants must also present the general critic of the established order, which is which is bad for the majority of the people in Europe,
and I think through which the far right is also mobilizing. So it is necessary to oppose the far right mobilization with presenting a concrete anti-systemic articulation that is connected also with the struggles of for freedom of movement. So connecting the struggle of the migrants with the struggle against exploitation, capitalism and the state. I think this is necessary, and to articulate this to the popular classes.
Yeah, like I totally agree with your comrades, and I would like to say that on one hand, as one of our main slogans and project implies, we aim for common struggles of locals and migrants for a life of dignity, freedom and quality. And on the other hand, the radical movements all across Europe with internationalism in action should act on one hand against rising nationalism and fascism, and on the other hand aim for the dissolution for this transnational monster called European Union. So it's our time to strike against this imposed modern totalitarianism, a state of emergency, like we see it happening in France or Turkey, or even attempted here in Germany. And it's a time for a class and social counterattack against state and capital.
Anger to action, anger to action, to action.
Anything you want to add?
Yes, one last thing. As people might know, just after the ending of the border camp, the revanchist state and capital evicted three squads in Saloniki, or from Tofio, who was a migrant housing squad, which, like, this field goes out to the church and they demolished it in order to build a fucking mall. Then the new place which was squatted the next day was also evicted, migrant squad Horia, and Nikis, which was the oldest housing squad in Thessaloniki, like since 89, and also the last months he's been housing some migrants. So yeah, on one hand you have like this advantage of 1,000 people, and then you don't have them, and there's this problem with summer and holidays and cities getting empty and movement closed. So Syriza has, and the state have found the chance to further strike and criminalize solidarity from below, real radical true solidarity and charity. In response to this, there were like mobilizations all around Greece, even though our political forces now are somewhat weakened. There was a new migrant squad in Thessaloniki as an answer. We're still waiting for it to be prepared to host people. Other solidarity moves inside and outside Greece, like from our comrades from FAO, and here in Frankfurt also I see something on the net. Yeah, what else? And like ideas and solidarity cannot be evicted, and like the more, like now, for everybody in Greece, Syriza has shown its real colors in all aspects possible, and the more they strike, the more we get stubborn and get more and more ready to fight back and win this struggle.
And give up on hope and listen instead to the voices from below. Voices from below.
Maledetto il suono della sveglia, una veglia dannata un altro giorno sulla terra. Bombarda la tensione dei miei nervi.
We've been listening to a debate among Greek members of the APO, Slovenian members of the FAO, and a member of the German-speaking FDA from a recent Congress of the International of Anarchist Federations about the July 2016 No Border Camp in Thessaloniki, Greece. More on the camp at noborder2016.sbivblogs.net, and more from A Radio Berlin, who provided this audio, can be found at aradio.blogsport.de.
Let's finish up with a punk track. This is Contra la Historia with their track Ataca from their 2016 album Caminando sobre las Ruinas de la Naturaleza. Contra Historia is from Jalapa in the state of Veracruz in Mexico. WSFMLP 103.3 in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bruce of Goodness. The show can also be heard on KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS in Columbus, Ohio. The show will later be archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us with questions or suggestions at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. Also, if you're interested in rebroadcasting any episode or segment, you are free to do so. Just send us an email so that we know that you're out there. If you care to, you can send us letters at The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806.